Hello and welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Jason Harris. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, I spoke with Matthew H.G. Katz, MD, Professor and Chair of Surgical Oncology at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Dr. Katz served as the lead author for a recently published Phase 2 study investigating neoadjuvant M-FOLFIRINOX with or without hypofractionated radiation therapy for patients with borderline resectable pancreatic ductal adenocarcinoma. At a median follow-up of 42.9 months, the Kaplan-Meier estimated 18-month survival rate was 66.7% for the M-FOLFIRINOX alone group versus 47.3% in the chemotherapy plus radiation arm. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Katz said that routine radiation therapy is inappropriate for any stage of localized pancreatic cancer, but added that there is a role for this modality in select patients.
Do you mind taking me through the findings from the A021-501 clinical trial?
The long story short is this was a study to compare two preoperative treatment regimens for patients with anatomically rather advanced pancreatic cancer. So we had 126 patients randomized to the study to one of two arms. The first was 4 months of systemic chemotherapy with FOLFIRINOX prior to anticipated pancreatectomy, and the other was little under 4 months of systemic chemotherapy with FOLFIRINOX followed by stereotactic body radiation therapy prior to anticipated surgery. The study was designed to randomize to these two arms, and then ultimately the objective was not to compare the arms, but to take each of the arms independently and compare each with a historical control rate of an 18-month overall survival rate of 50%. So what happened was that the second arm, the 3.5 months of chemotherapy and stereotactic body radiation therapy, that arm closed at the interim analysis after 50 or so patients were accrued, as an insufficient number of patients had undergone R0 resection. So the arm closed for futility. And the systemic chemotherapy alone arm completed to full accrual. And ultimately, that arm, the chemotherapy alone, preoperative therapy arm, was associated with a median overall survival duration of about 30 months. So what we can conclude from this study, a couple things. What is clear is that the survival rate of patients in the chemotherapy only arm was superior to historical control. So we declared that arm efficacious, and we established that regimen is the regimen that should be built upon in future studies of pancreatic cancer, combining that chemotherapy regimen with novel therapeutics, for example. We couldn't really say much in the end of the day about the radiation arm, and people can interpret the closure of the arm due to futility however they want, but based on the protocol, we could only really evaluate the efficacy of the arm statistically if the arm accrued to full accrual, which it did not. So, it did close for futility, but at the end of the day, statistically, we're unable to say much. So the role of radiation therapy in this context, I suppose, is still a little bit ambiguous.
So then I guess it's too much to say that the radiation was harming patients, just that they did better on chemotherapy.
I do not believe that radiation therapy harmed patients. The patients tolerated the radiation therapy well. And there's really no objective evidence to say that the radiation therapy was harmful. Did it help? Certainly didn't seem to help. But I think it would be a gross overstatement to say that the radiation therapy was helpful. And I think, frankly, that there still does remain a role for radiation therapy, not routinely. I mean, I think, my interpretation of existing data and this and the data provided by this trial is pretty clear. I do not believe that routine radiation therapy for really any stage of localized pancreatic cancer is indicated. I think that's my interpretation of the data is that's pretty clear by this point. But I do believe that there is a role for radiation therapy for localized pancreatic cancer in certain patients. And the problem is we just haven't figured out precisely who those patients are. So yeah, I don't believe that it harmed patients. I do believe that a role still exists for radiation for certain individuals. The key for us moving forward is to figure out who are those patients, when do they need it, you know, that kind of thing.
So you set your historical control at 50%, and you exceeded that for overall survival pretty clearly. Were the outcomes even better than you were expecting when you initiated the trial?
No, they were probably about what I expected. It's interesting because I think most people kind of would have thought that either arm would do better, you know, because there are single institution series, of course, of patients with advanced disease that have higher resection rates than were exhibited by either arm on this trial, and you know, possibly even overall survival rates or overall survival durations. But you know, I would emphasize that these were a relatively unselected group of patients, so they were selected only on the basis of their anatomy. They were very heterogeneous in terms of their, in terms of the extent of their disease, viewed any other way other than anatomically. And they were enrolled from sites all over the United States, some of which were high volume centers, some of which were not so high volume, done with, you know, operations performed by a variety of surgeons. So, you know, these are really, when you think about it in that context, I think the data are really impressive. I think 30 months of overall survival for an unselected group of patients with anatomically advanced disease operated on in centers across the United States, it's I think really, really impressive. I'm not really, frankly, surprised about any of these results. I think patients who have localized disease should be treated with chemotherapy. These data provide additional support for that belief. I don't believe that all patients should receive radiation therapy. These data provide additional support for that belief. Again, these are only my beliefs, but I wasn't particularly surprised by anything that happened here. The fact that the radiation therapy arm closed early was unfortunate. I can think of a number of reasons to explain that phenomenon. Clearly, I wish that it had done at least well enough to accrue to full accrual. You know, again, I think we just have to run trials in the future that look at different disease populations that are selected on criteria other than anatomy, and stop trying to demonstrate differences in overall survival with radiation when radiation, you know, is a local treatment, and probably we should be evaluating its success or failure on the basis of endpoints that are more reflective of local disease, like, you know, local disease progression or symptoms related to local tumor or something like that. But it's a heavy lift to demonstrate a survival duration difference from a local treatment, and we see it again here in this study. But again, to say that radiation therapy was harmful, I think is a gross overstatement. I've heard this is the end of radiation therapy. I think that's a gross overstatement. We just have to figure out who benefits.
Obviously, this study was not designed to reflect real world practice, but from the sounds of it, you got a real good cross section of how the disease actually is treated in the clinic.
I think in many respects, it does reflect real world practice, again, because we did have accrual from such a diverse array of sites from all across the United States. I would say though that even though it was fairly real world in that perspective, from that perspective, it was well controlled. So we did include a lot of quality control elements in this trial that have not been used in other trials, other than the trial we ran prior to this, which we used to establish those quality control measures. But this trial really went to extra lengths to ensure that the patient population we were studying was homogeneous, that the radiation therapy, for example, was applied using a consistent technique to high standards, that surgery was performed to high standards, that the imaging studies were interpreted the same way that response was interpreted the same way. So, you know, we went to great lengths to ensure that even though this was a study that was conducted, you know, in many different institutions throughout the country, that the care provided to each patient was of the highest quality possible and performed in such a way that the data are as solid as possible.
Do you think these results are practice changing?
I don't know that they're practice changing. I think they're practice affirming. The radiation topic debate has been going on for, you know, going on 30 years now. And I don't know the extent to which this trial has settled anything in that regard. I think there are people that firmly believe in radiation. I think there are people, and I mean providers, surgeons, and medical oncologists and radiation oncologists that don't believe in radiation, you know, across the board. And I don't know that this trial is going to change either of those groups to believe the other way. I think the wealth of the data suggests that radiation can be beneficial in certain patients. And the problem is that, like other studies, this trial was trying to do too much in some ways in demonstrating that it prolonged, that it could meaningfully prolong survival in patients selected only on the basis of their anatomic stage. I think that prior studies, by and large, have shown that that's not, you know, that it doesn't work in that way. I think this study, by and large, showed that radiation therapy does not have that ability. But I do think that there's some, again, I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. Likely does help, you know, almost certainly does help some patients. And the future studies after this one will hopefully do a better job of figuring out precisely who those patients are.
What happens next based on these results? Will you take the FOLFIRINOX regimen to a phase 3 trial or?
No, there is a study going on now through the Alliance that's looking at FOLFIRINOX in applied perioperatively. So that's preoperative and postoperative versus surgery de novo followed by FOLFIRINOX. So it's attempting to answer the question, you know, can, you know, which is better, preoperative versus postoperative FOLFIRINOX. That study is ongoing, and that is a phase 3 study. I'm not sure what that study will show. Again, I believe that, you know, all these studies, mine included, is kind of missing the boat a little bit, missing an opportunity to look at pancreatic cancer evaluated on the basis of non-anatomic criteria and by limiting us to studying, you know, the disease in an anatomic way is kind of restricting our ability to really provide definitive answers. But that is one, I think, important trial that will provide additional data to help inform the treatment of patients with localized disease. There are opportunities to study novel agents in the preoperative setting in combination with FOLFIRINOX. So really that was the kind of the next step we had envisioned here is how do you improve the results of systemic chemotherapy alone by adding to it, novel agents, whatever they may be. There's also, I think, huge opportunity in using new measures of response to kind of inform treatment in real time. So, for example, in this study, patients who were enrolled on the chemotherapy arm received 4 months of chemotherapy without any assessment of without any real attention given, I would say, to whether that chemotherapy was quote unquote effective. And we know that, you know, even though FOLFIRINOX seems to be generally effective in when you look at a large number of patients, there are patients for whom it isn't going to be effective. How do you figure out who the patients are for whom the regimen is working early? And looking at it the other way, how do you identify patients for whom the regimen is not working early so that you can, you know, switch gears and take a different approach? How can you use measures of disease response to, you know, modulate the duration of therapy within the within which the treatment is given? So, you know, some patients probably don't need 4 months of therapy. Maybe some patients need 2 months. Maybe some patients need 8 months. I mean, how do you know, and how do you make those decisions on the fly? So those are kind of the things that we need to work on and are working on.
That's all we have time for today. Thanks again to my guest, Matthew Katz, MD, and thank you for listening to this episode of Onc Live On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Onc Live is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Onc Live and at Onc Live SOSS. On Facebook, like us at Onc Live and Onc Live State of the Science Summit, and follow our Onc Live page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of Onc Live On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onc Live On Air.